You can find me, Gail Carriger, at www.gailcarriger.com. That's GAILCARRERGER.
EGER?
I
thought it was IGER.
IG. Yeah, I can't spell it.
Say it again and we'll edit it.
All right.
Say your name! Say your name!
Oh, no. That's going to be like the beginning bumper thing.
Probably.
All right.
Metamore City, a podcast series created by Chris Lester. For more information, please visit www.metamorecity.com.
Okay, we are back, and we are here with the voicemails.
Hey, boss, it's Clippy. Just calling you here from the editing dungeon.
Hey, Clippy.
I'm down here with the elves, and... You know, I just want to say that they really appreciated you sending down that big barrel of green beer for St. Paddy's Day. You know, just between you and me, I don't think they've realized yet that it wasn't food coloring. You know, they don't really understand that it's mold. They enjoyed it. And anyway, they and me, we wanted to get together and we wanted to, you know, we wanted to do something for you. We wanted to show our appreciation.
Uh-huh.
So... All right, just hold on, and we'll do this for you. Hold on. All right, guys. Just the way we practice. No, shush.
M is for the many edits you gave me. E is for every edit you gave me. T is for the 1,000 edits you gave me. A is for all the edits you gave me. N is for most of the edits you gave me. O is for the other edits you gave me. R is for the rest of the edits you gave me. Put them all together, they spell Metamore. A name that means a lot of editing to me.
Shush, guys, Chris? Guys, okay. All right, boss, that was from me and the editing elves here, and I just wanted to let you know. You know, we feel honored to have worked on your podcast. And now that you're getting down to the last few episodes of Making the Cut, and we're looking forward to a summer full of wonderful short stories and fan fiction, followed up on 09, 09, 09, 09, and maybe, you know, another 09 with the next novel. And boy, we're really just looking forward to that, boss. All right, have a happy feedback show. This is Clippy. Bye.
Wait, what did it spell?
Metamore.
You have your editing done by Muppets?
I have my editing done by elves. Unfortunately, I went to get like the factory seconds from the Keebler factory and... See, they said that they were half off. I didn't know that they were talking about size and brain function.
Wait, T. Morris wasn't available?
But oh, it's boy. Still, regardless, I still love having minions.
Even if they squeak.
Even if they squeak. Thank you, Clippy, and all you guys down there in the editing dungeons. Thank you from the bottom of my cold black heart. This would not be possible if it were not for you and your tireless efforts.
Sigler, what's this? What? You mean... Look, Lester's always on time with his episodes. It's Sigler that's always late. You sure? Lester, what's this all about a late episode? I'm not sure I like that. No, in all seriousness, the shows have been fantastically amazing so far, or recently as well. And if we have to suffer a week or 2 weeks delay in that every once in a while, if it keeps the standards of both the writing and the audio quality high, then I, for one, am not actually going to complain, especially as you've done so well by us so far. So this is just a thank you note to say thank you. Cheers.
That was from John Merlin. He is from the You Can Not Be Serious fundraiser. They are collecting money to drive in a road rally from Britain all the way to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. And so they're raising money for a bunch of different charities to do this road rally.
But I've heard his voice and mm-hmm. podcasting. Does he have a Is he on the Doctor Who podcast? Or read for Escape Pod.
He may have. He may have.
I haven't. I don't recognize the voice.
So. Really? Well, it's very familiar to me.
You're even more of a podcast junkie than I am.
I'm such an addict.
John Merlin has been around for a while. You've probably heard the commercials that they've done for the Yukon Not Be Serious fundraiser. He was also involved in the cross-country bicycle ride across Britain last year for the UK Alzheimer's group.
I heard about that.
Yep. So
he's that guy?
He's that guy. Okay. He's one of them.
Does he know David Walker?
I don't know. I don't know David Walker.
Maybe everyone should.
But
David Walker rocks.
But yes, thank you for your support, John. I'm glad that you and everybody else was really patient with me through my delays, technical difficulties, and then with the Martian death flu hitting me last weekend.
That would be my fault.
Yeah, sorry. We didn't know that. We didn't know that Gail was patient zero at the time, but
we thought that Gail was patient tequila, it turned out.
Yay! It's another episode of Patty Heaty Drunken Dialing.
Oh, God.
I know you missed it. I know this because I'm a witch, which I guess living in San Francisco, I could be a lot worse or subject. So, like, now I'm on Twitter and stuff, and for those of you not on Twitter, okay, you're not really missing a lot, but it's loads of fun because you can pick on people in real time, which I'm totally taking advantage of. For instance, Chris Lester was complaining about Lester. Uncle Lester to you. He was complaining about not getting in touch with the parents of his students, which I understand is kind of a big problem. My stepdad, Mr. Meyer, there's no real reason we call him that. We just have always called him Mr. Meyer. Anyway, he's a science and math teacher, and he used to be a drill sergeant, but he's always complaining.
Great combo.
Whining, complaining, kind of like Chris does about history. Anyway, he's always complaining about how students' parents don't get involved. So I suggested, being great and knowledgeable, that he burn copies of Metamore City and send them to the parents of the people. And he said, oh, hell no. So clearly he is a wimp. I mean, really, what could go wrong? I mean, it's a story involving a guy who's a teacher who takes advantage of the emotional insecurity of a teenage student and then kidnaps her and isolates her from society while impregnating and being abusive towards her. How could, like, parents take that the wrong way? What could possibly be misconstrued? Okay, it's kind of obvious you really shouldn't. But, yeah. I figured out, though, that Victor is like you projecting some image of a history teacher who you had a really bad experience with or who was really like not grading on a curve and you got emotionally scarred.
Chris, were you abducted and impregnated in high school?
Like, oh, tra-la-la, hate history, tra-la-la-la, la. La 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 la.
La 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 la.
That's where I cut it off. There will be more clips of Patty.
Oh,
but
man.
Yeah, she gave me 16 minutes of drunken rambling, so I picked out the best parts of it for commentary.
The best being a very loosely defined term.
She got to me about an hour later.
Oh, no.
And judging by the phone call I got, it was about four shots later.
So she's like voicemail patient zero.
Half an hour. And none of it was actually relevant. She get about 5 minutes into it and she's like, who am I calling again? Oh, it doesn't matter. So that's one voicemail that we will not be hearing on my feedback show, even though it was pretty fucking weird. Sorry, Patty, but you have to be a little more sober so we can actually understand you. But thanks for the call anyway.
But yes, Yeah, there are a number of good reasons for not promoting Metamore City to either my kids or their parents. I had not really thought about the implications of Victor's storyline until you brought it up, but yeah, like that has the potential for going a number of ways, all of them bad. So, and honestly, you've got to stop beating me up about this history stuff, Patty. I don't know where you got this idea that I hate history. I'm fascinated by history. I love watching the History Channel. I love reading about history.
That would be your biggest problem.
I love reading about history.
Yeah, you did say in so many words, oh God, I hate history. It's a bunch of people sitting around in a room pretending they knew what happened at one point.
I hope that doesn't extend to me in the
archaeology
contingent.
Archaeology.
We're doing our best.
You guys are dealing with tangible stuff. You know?
We spent a lot of time trying to disprove the historians.
No. Oh. I never said anything bad about archaeologists.
Okay.
Never.
No, you didn't. I would have caught you.
Yeah, you would have heard.
She would have beaten you.
Yeah, I mean, my case has always been a call for, oh, she's got the pith helmet on again, or whatever that thing is.
It's a cloche.
It's a what?
Cloche.
A cloche.
Hat. It's a type of hat, you plebeian.
Yes, she likes to keep it close to her.
Oh.
All right, we derailed.
Hit him with the Tsutsuma, please.
My problem has never been with history itself. I think history is fascinating. I just think that a certain amount of humility is called for in terms of what we actually can say with any certainty that we know. And that's all I'm going to say because I've said it all before.
I think it applies to most sciences as well.
It does. It really does. The sciences are all based around that contingency of knowledge and the fact that we are building operational models for the world that are not perfect, but they're enough to be going on with.
And the fact that history shows that almost all of those models will eventually be replaced by another model.
All of them will eventually be augmented, and many of them will eventually be replaced.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that history is the same way.
Which ones?
You know, history, we have to build models for what we think happened, or, you know, narratives that we think explain what actually took place and attempt to put it in context. And those models are always going to be just as imperfect as any scientific model, if not more so, because of the fuzziness of the data that we're working with. But I think that because people perceive of history as being this very objective, well, it's what happened, it's done, it's a done deal, I think that people tend to mistakenly believe that those models are somehow more dependable or less contingent than the models that we use in science.
That's because most people don't take history past high school.
Mm-hmm. And in high school, unless it's done very well, all of the sciences and all of the disciplines are presented
As concretes,
as if they were received knowledge.
They don't deal with theory, they don't deal with critical method, they don't deal with any of that stuff.
Well, mm-hmm. They are dealing with teenagers.
Mm-hmm. But even in college, my professor in my U.S. history course started out the first day, he put his two rules up on the board. Theory without facts is bullshit, but facts without theory are trivia. And so that you need to have the theory of what, you know, the narrative.
It's not a bad set of axioms.
Yeah, the narrative in order to make sense of the facts. But then if you start from that starting point and then proceed to treat the narrative as something concrete, you end up reinforcing the very same thing you were trying to fight against to begin with. Continue.
You shouldn't talk about sad stuff when you're drinking. Hey, why did the dolphin commit suicide? Because he realized his life didn't have a porpoise.
There was a lot of that during the 16 minutes, including one about the Dalai Lama, which I'm not going to repeat here.
See, now that one I might actually find interesting.
Okay, so the Dalai Lama goes to New York, and he tells the hot dog vendor, make me one with everything.
Everything, yes. The follow-up to that, by the way, is the hot dog vendor does, and he hands it back to the Dalai Lama, and the Dalai Lama hands him $5 when the hot dog is $4. And the hot dog vendor doesn't give him his change. And the Dalai Lama says, "Where's my change?" And the hot dog vendor says, "Change comes only from within."
Did you hear the one about why the Dalai Lama refused?
Come on, boys.
Stop. Back to the feedback, please.
but Chris, seriously though, dude, I have a chick who you should totally date.
Ooh, do tell.
The downside is she's in Ohio.
Oh.
And I'm not sure if you're man enough to date her, because she's really fucking awesome. Kiddo is a medieval martial artist, and she plays with crossbow, and sword, and shield. She's versed in mythological cycles of Ireland, which are really, really hard to learn. I'm trying, but she fucking kicks ass. And she's a graphic artist, and she doesn't really have as much of a rack as me, but few people on Earth do. Because let's face it, boobies are my greatest weapon. It's kind of hard to have great weapons when you have spinal neural crap going on. Anyway, she's like Christian, and she's probably beat red right now and repeating, please stop, or shut up while she's listening to this. But I'm not going to, because she really, like, needs to date more. Yeah, and I'm still not sure you're man enough.
Poor girl.
She's really awesome. And good thing you bleeped out her name. Why you sound like an awesome guy, since I haven't met you? I don't know. But if you like redheads who are really smart and really strong and really cool.
And buxom.
You could do a lot worse than Kiddo.
I'll take her.
This rings
smart,
to mind.
Smart, sexy, kick-ass redheads.
Are you a breast man? This is what inquiring minds really want to know at this juncture.
I'm not as particular about that as some other things. But, like being smart,
the
sexy,
mark
kick-ass.
Up in her
it's like, what? Like... Yeah. Having a nose?
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, Kiddo, if you're out there listening to this, I have no idea if you are at all interested or not, but...
The first order of business is to leave Ohio.
Yes.
The email address is feedback@metamorecity.com. So, yeah, I apologize on behalf of Patty, but seriously, let's talk.
Oh, yeah, and Metamore City stuff. It's a great example of how secrecy can be bad, just in general, and self-destructive. Because if everyone was totally honest with each other, well, then we live in a happy, shiny world.
She obviously hasn't learned the lesson of the Babel fish.
I will go as far with you to agree that secrets are frequently toxic and that holding unnecessary secrecy frequently leads to all sorts of anguish and pain and unnecessary problems. That is the theme that you'll see throughout Making the Cut. It is something that I have said before and totally agree with. However, that is not the same as believing that we would necessarily be all shiny, happy people holding hands if we all really knew what everybody thought about everybody else. It would be very awkward for a while, I think. Society would have to change dramatically in order to survive it.
Yeah, it wouldn't be any mystery. Getting to know someone wouldn't be a challenge.
It's true.
Unless you did what Victor did and basically dissociated parts of your personality.
Oh, yeah. Metamore City. You should describe the architecture more. Because we don't know anything about it. Except for, like, there's one really, 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 really big tower there.
The city. I mean,
yeah. There's an evolved architecture. Did the city go through, like, the usual fire and rebuilding period? So the architecture period stop at a point or... Is there like a whole lot of different... Is there archaeological digs in Metamore? And if there are, how are they conducted? Do they conflict with ongoing building projects?
You remember how I was saying that sooner or later my listeners are going to ask me a question I haven't thought of? Yeah, archaeological digs under Metamore City. Interesting thought.
You better get it right if you're going to write
about it. Yeah, exactly. And I know who to talk to. But I can tell you that Metamore did go through at least two distinct phases of occupation by human inhabitants, that there was a period when people developed a kingdom that was then smashed by the invading Suilman army. And then the Suilmans built up their civilization there, and they were smashed by incoming hordes of Lutans and giants from the Northlands. So actually, yeah, three distinct phases of civilization there. And then the Lutan and giant tribes were driven out by the kingdom that was then established there in, I think, like the 400s, something like that. And then that society has pretty much been continuously existing since then. And they've been building over top of their previous civilization since then, quite literally, once they got to the point where there was nowhere else to grow out within the valley, they started growing up. And that was the reason for the creation of the layer cake architecture system.
And we all want to know what kind of frosting is in the layer cake.
Mm.
Buttercream?
The frosting is largely glass and silver would be my guess, and brass. You know, shiny stuff up top on the towers. So it's kind of like
a lemon glaze.
Yes, a lemon glaze. And of course, that's where the rich socialites and nobility live, so it also has a heavy sprinkling of nuts on the top layer.
Buttercream sounds more interesting.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be cool? Sorry, if you were like to get through the different layers, you had to like go diving through buttercream frosting. A tasty treat whenever you fall down in class status.
Wow.
Sorry.
I can tell that she's a comedy writer.
And a foodie.
Yes. So I would imagine some archaeology does happen underneath Metamore City and probably happens very carefully. My guess is that most of the really serious archaeology was done a while ago, because in order to build those big ass towers, they had to go way down into the bedrock in order to build the foundations for them. And that was also where they had to build the little pocket reactors that power the things. So, yeah, lots of the heavy excavation has probably already been done, and I doubt that there's much left underneath the city that wasn't made within the last 100-150 years.
Depends on the nature of your local resources as well. I mean, if you're that confined spatial and aerial wise, you might be reusing most of your rock or whatever your material structure is.
Mm-hmm.
You might be just reusing it, and so it's incorporated into the currently existing building. So there's not that much to dig up anymore.
Could be, yeah. Probably not a lot left. And then, of course, the citadel itself has changed a lot, because it is inhabited by Majestrix Kaya, who is able to change its architecture. The shape of the castle has changed to depend on the needs of the people who live there. And so it grew from being this little castle with a big mountain ridge underneath it to being the citadel, which has taken over that entire mountain ridge and subsumed it into its architecture. And now it's this freaking huge arcology a mile high.
Terribly inconvenient for archaeologists.
Yeah. Yes.
Are there female gladiators, also called gladiatrix, in Metamore? You don't know, do you? Or maybe you do know, and you're hiding it. Hey, speaking of stuff you do know and you're hiding, when do we get to hear more about these noble houses thingies? Because those sound kind of cool.
Yes, the noble houses. You will find out more about the nobility of Metamore in Season 2.
And there are two of them, both alike in dignity.
Oh, there are many of them, and their dignity is frequently questionable, particularly House Brightleaf. But what would you expect from a noble house whose founder was known for wearing a necklace made of the ears of his enemies?
I was going to say, Brightleaf has a whole other set of implications in my little hippie upbringing.
Yeah, the Brightleaf clan goes back to the original Metamore Keep story universe. One of the heroes of that era, Misha Brightleaf, was a fox wielding a giant battle axe that was inhabited by angelic spirits, whose sole purpose was to be summoned to Earth in order to kick ass and take names. And big scary weapon and very scary guy who went along with it. Nice guy, but scary as hell. And his people, his house have carried on his proud tradition of being
scary as hell.
Well, let's just say that they constantly buck the social order. And if some member of the nobility is trying some wacky scheme that is making all of the other houses uncomfortable, chances are he's a Brightleaf. But you're going to see more about them in one of the short stories in season two. And the noble houses are going to figure very prominently in Things Unseen, which is the second Metamore City novel. So watch out for that.
And I'm still not convinced that Santa is a she-lord. First of all, he gives presents. And I like presents. And he's fat. And when does she ever be described as being fat? Seriously. I mean, Cucullin, not fat. Finn McCool, not fat.
The Unsheer.
St. Patrick, not a she. But yeah, none of them are fat, and yet you're saying Santa Claus is she? I don't think so.
Okay, it is true that the common image of the she that we have in our very limited American perspective is of these tall elf-like beings that are beautiful and scary as hell. And truthfully, there are a lot of those creatures among the Shi in Metamore. But the Shi are a very diverse collection of creatures. And there's a lot of variety in terms of their physical appearance. So I don't think it's at all unreasonable to think that one of them could be a jolly old elf whose belly shakes like a bowl full of jelly. Oh, and also Cuchulain and Finn McCool, also not she. They were heroes of the Ulster cycle, I believe.
Not my area of specialty.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Chris, this is Christina, Chowry on Twitter. I finally finished catching up on Metamore City last night. I just wanted to say how much I've enjoyed listening to it. I'm a little bit sad that I actually have to wait and to hear the next installment. The plot twist of hearing Miriam turned was totally unexpected. But it's been fun to see how such a strong woman has handled the transition from an open environment where she can hear people's secret inner thoughts to being forced to be subservient to a man and a system that she hates. Call me morbid, but as much as I enjoy the deep exploration of people's souls, I also enjoy peering into the dark side, too. It gives us a broader perspective of the forces that balance out Metamore City. I hope there will be more. Oh, and T, I looked into the Twin Suns thing, and the way twin sons spin around each other gave me an image of a cross-eyed Chris. I have to tell you, I've seen pictures of him, and not only is he not cross-eyed, but he's actually kind of cute. Uh-huh. Have I mentioned his voice? Okay, enough of that now. I'm going to say keep it on the bright side and let you get back to churning out those wonderful stories. Catch you around on Skype and Twitter. Bye!
Thanks, Tina. That was very sweet. And I'm glad that you're enjoying our little look at Miriam and what's happened to her since her being brought across to the vampire side of things. We will be seeing more of the vampire society in the future. You can be sure of that. Malcolm Ardvalos is not going away, and his presence will continue to be felt throughout the ongoing storylines. So more good stuff coming on that front, or more dark stuff, depending on how you look at it.
More evil.
Guess who? Mm-hmm. So yeah, happy St. Patrick's Day, Chris, Dan, and I neglected Kitty because she never talks.
Oh.
So,
poor kid.
This is about 10 p.m., about 8 beers into the night,
oh,
and
no.
I knew that since Patty is probably
Patty.
Going to get a word in, I thought I would get myself under the influence just to fit in.
Oh, no.
I've started to try
and
Danny
then
Patty.
I find myself at a loss for words. I saw the last episode of Metamore City.
He saw it, did he?
And what can I say? Metamore City
was always
good. One of the things I'm interested in is we're starting to shape up the ending of the book, and we're starting to shape up things like what happened to Abby Preston and what killed her baby and all that. Also, I just got to tell you, I think I'm starting to really get a... I love some of these characters. My favorite character in your book so far is one that I don't think a lot of your fans give enough credit to or enough love to, and that is Miriam Bakhtavar, who is an amazing character. And if you don't do anything with her after making the cut, I would love to write with her at some point in the future.
He's rechanneled his fan fiction ambitions.
Malcolm Arvalos, but I think he's going to be a fan favorite for a long time.
Oh, yes. Malcolm.
Anyways, I was never in the marching band or anything like that, so I can't really make this as fun. I'm guessing this is not as fun drunk as Patty is.
Oh, okay.
Either way, I guess I'm at that point where you're no longer happy drunk, you're like sick drunk.
Oh, no.
But happy Patty's Day. I'm actually one of the 10 people in North America who aren't Irish. So I don't get to enjoy the holidays, which some people
do. He's one of the 10 people in America who aren't Irish.
Hopefully, you guys will have a fun time. And of course,
president is also Irish.
I look forward to hearing my voice on the feedback show again. So, Pete.
That's it.
Oh, yes.
Evidently, he ate through the electronics before the end of the call.
Oops. Well, thank you for calling in, Tristan. Please, next time, call in sober.
Goes a lot faster that way.
Yes.
You'll makes talk a lot faster. More sense.
Well, it doesn't go faster because he talks more, but he's very lucid.
Mm-hmm. But yes, thank you for the love for Miriam. She is one of my favorite characters, too. Miriam and Seralina both. I just adore those characters, partly because they were my little surprise characters who came about as I was writing the story. Them and Sasha.
I love those guys. Oh, yeah. So much fun.
All three
Volish is my surprise character.
They're so nice when they come in and
write
themselves.
All three of them showed up because I needed them for the plot. And then they developed these wonderful personalities, probably because I wasn't trying so hard with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I adore Sasha and Miriam and Lena. And I appreciate the fact that my love for them is coming out and making people love the characters as well. So thanks for sharing, Tristan.
That's it.
That's it. Mm-hmm. All right. I could have sworn we had more Patty than that. But
oh, God, no. No, that's all the voicemail.
Okay. That will do it then for this feedback show. If you would like to contribute your voice to this madness, you can call in to 206-203-0994. That is 206-203-0994. You can also leave your comments in text or audio at feedback@metamorecity.com. And you can also contribute to the ongoing discussion forums at thecurse.org. You can participate on the Facebook group Fans of Metamore City, or you can just leave your comments on the blog at www.metamorecity.com.
Man, I thought I had a long feedback spiel.
And if you want to reach me on Twitter, I am Ethereus, Etherius.
And he's on all the time. Mm-hmm.
And if you want to locate him in the produce section of the grocery store, where should they look?
Next to the nuts. And I am also on Skype as CW Lester. So, Dan, where can they find you?
You can find all my various forms of madness at www.jdsawyer.net, and you can follow me on Twitter as dsawyer.
And this is Gail Carriger, and you can find me at www.gailcarriger.com. That's GAILCARRIGER.com. And all of my contact information is there.
And I'm Kitty Nickian, and you can find me on Twitter, and that's KittyNickian.
Old joke. I was having the darndest time spelling Kitty's last name until I realized that it scanned with Old MacDonald.
Nice.
So, until next time, keep it on the bright side. I am Chris Lester.
I'm Dan Sawyer.
I'm Gail Carriger.
And I'm Kitty Nickian.
Signing out.
Woot!
Some of the music on this show is provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Some sound effects were provided by SoundSnap at soundsnap.com, while others were provided by the Freesound Project, located at freesound.iua.upf.edu. Metamore City is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.